Eye on Football podcast returns. I am Will Brinson, Ryan Wilson with me as always. We've got loads and loads of Thursday night preseason action to talk about, including the Eagles, the Browns. All right, there wasn't loads and loads. But I think the important thing here, Ryan, is that Michael Vick is just out there. He's just having fun again. He fell in love with the game again. I don't know if you saw that quote or not, but Michael Vick has said that Chip Kelly helped him fall in love with the game again. He's playing really well. So, sure, why not?
It's funny you actually say that. Vick didn't actually say those words, did he?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I actually was going to write about it.
Michael Vick, quote, I fell in love with the game again.
He actually played that way, and I'm not even joking, because I was actually looking at his stats. I watched a lot of Eagles games last year, and tonight, I think, the Thursday night game against the Panthers might have been his sharpest performance since back in 2011 at some point. He completed his first nine passes. He was 9 for 10 by the time he left, and his 10th pass was an interception on a end of the half Hail Mary. Like,
my man, you know, Josh Norman, but it doesn't count, obviously.
Right. But, he played as close to flawless as you can play in an offense that you're relatively unfamiliar with. He does what Vic likes to do in that he runs and gets himself in trouble. He seemed to get banged up on the scoring drive near the end of the first half.
Right.
The next play was handed off to Shady McCoy, who came back for the first time. This preseason looked great. But I thought Vic was super tight, super sharp, made a lot, seemed very comfortable in the pocket, very comfortable in the offense. His throws were on target, which is something he struggled with in the past. And by the same token, Nick Foles, who started the game, as was scheduled based on what Chip Kelly told us last week, he looked good too. He made a bad decision in the end zone on the first drive. He was falling down. He got hit, threw the ball in the end zone, and was intercepted. But he came back on the next drive and scored on a 7-yard touchdown. I thought he played well. But if I'm giving, doing a report card in terms of looking ahead to the week one starter for the regular season, I think I'm leaning towards Vic.
Yeah, I think I don't want to say it's a no-brainer. Because you're right, Foles did look, several times, he looked very good, especially in that first drive. He was marching the Eagles down the field, running the no-huddle well. And then he fumbled that first snap, recovered it, and it was fine. And then fumbled the second snap and got pressure on him. I think it was the first snap he actually was pressured by the Panthers' defensive line, which is a major problem for them. And then tried to throw it away and threw it to a terrible interception. I mean, I assume he was trying to throw it away. It was a bad interception. Vic is now, by my rough calculations, 13 of 15. I'm very good at math. 13 of 15 with one TD and one pick. And like you said, that one pick and therefore that one incompletion for him in that second game against the Panthers was a meaningless, heave down the field that Josh Norman intercepted.
Yeah. And again, we have to couch all this in, quote unquote, this is the preseason. So keep that in mind, the vanilla offense, vanilla defense, whatever. But here's the thing.
I don't think that Eagles offense wasn't that vanilla. They ran a triple option. And if you did, I don't know if you saw it or not, the triple option with Foles, but it's fakes, has the handoff option, takes off running, and then has a throw before he gets to the line of scrimmage. Very creative stuff.
Yeah, that's right. You mean on a play, I think, went to Jason Abon, he actually lateraled the ball on what was probably a 15-yard pass behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, but then he ran it later and didn't pass it and got absolutely leveled. I mean,
which is what I wanted to say. I was actually impressed that Foles did so well running this sort of read option, inside zone, up-tempo offense, because that was one of the concerns of Matt Barkley, that no one other than Vic could probably excel in this sort of offense. But Chip Kelly clearly knows a lot more about football than we do. So we saw tonight that Foles can do this and do it at a pretty high level. Just a matter of who Kelly feels most comfortable with at the once week one rolls around.
I think it has to be Vic.
I agree.
I don't like the idea of him running Vic in the red zone. That was Andy Reid's thing, man. It didn't work. Don't do it. Stop. You saw that play where I know it almost scored, but it almost like broke Vic's collarbone. I didn't like that.
No, that's right. I don't understand, especially when you have Shady McCoy, who ripped off a 21-yarder on that second touchdown drive, the second drive that eventually scored a touchdown. But, hey, Riley Cooper caught some passes, too.
So he did. And look, Shady McCoy was good. And that 21-yarder you're talking about is where he absolutely – I mean, Drayton Florence's jock is in three pieces. I mean, just shattered. He got absolutely his pants juked off. And Shady was moving around the field. I think if you're a fantasy football owner – or if any, and you haven't drafted yet, Shady's fallen in like that 8, 9, 10 range. I mean, he might end up being a steal because the Eagles ran the ball a lot. He had 8 carries for 47 yards. I mean, even if you take out the, you know, the 21, excuse me, even if you take out the 21 yarder, I mean, it's still, you know, you're looking at 26 on 7 carries. Not great, but I thought he ran the ball pretty well.
No, he ran the ball. He did a great job running the ball, especially he didn't play last week. I could see him. Chris Polk has been the backup. I'm not even sure what happened to
Bryce Brown. Maybe it might be the fumbling issues. Remember, he was bad.
He was a fantastic runner when he held onto the ball and a completely awful runner otherwise.
Yeah.
After McCoy had a concussion.
What do you think about – I don't know how much you got to see of the Eagles' defense.
Love me some Josh – what's his name? Norman.
No, that's Panthers' defense, man.
Oh, who'd you say?
The Eagles' defense, yeah.
Oh, they were able to tackle people this week, which is nice.
They looked a lot better. I thought they
– Yeah.
And there's a big difference between playing against Cam Newton, who's hot and cold, and obviously Derek Anderson versus playing against Tom Brady.
Yeah, what do you think about this? Kerry Williams didn't play last week, the cornerback they signed this offseason from the Ravens. He seemed to bring a little attitude with him. He got into an early first quarter scuffle with your boy Steve Smith. Do you think that Kerry Williams had anything to do with setting the tone after those comments last week about getting tough?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he kind of has to, right, after he said these guys aren't the Ravens. You know, I also thought that, you know, one of the maybe issues for, you know, it's not whether or not it's the Eagles' defense. Maybe it's the Panthers' offensive line. Maybe, I mean, it's the preseason. We don't need to overreact, but the Panthers weren't rolling out of the box the way that, you know, you kind of wanted them to. D'Angelo Williams, 12 carries, 39 yards, long of 8. I mean, but who's getting 12 carries in the preseason, by the way?
It's funny you mentioned that because I was thinking of the Fletcher Cox play where Cam was flushed out of the pocket to his right, and Cox actually ran him down. He had to throw the ball away. And that wasn't on Newton. That was on the offensive line getting beat pretty quickly up front. And that was a passing play. It wasn't a running play, obviously.
Yeah.
But from what I saw of
there was also a play where D'Angelo Williams literally got stuffed at the handoff point. I mean, it was just, you know, it was bad blocking by the offensive line. So I think you worry about that if you're the Panthers. I don't know how much you put into Cam Newton being off and on, you know, hot and cold. He just didn't, you know, he's same as the first game. At times he was throwing darts. Early he was throwing darts against the Eagles and then kind of cool, seemed to make mistakes, looked familiar to last year in terms of how he would streak. You really don't want to read too much into it, but I think the preseason does matter in some of these instances where we're trying to figure out, you know, is the guy going to take a step? You know, is a guy like Cam going to take a step forward and, you know, produce the way he produced down the stretch last year, or, you know, is he going to be inconsistent? Same thing, you know, is Michael Vick going to be Michael Vick of old? And by the way, one more thing about Vick, I think the nice thing about Chip Kelly's offense is it in a weird way, when you speed up the tempo the way they do, and you have, first of all, to do that, you have to simplify the terminology and you have to simplify the game because you can't run really complex offensive systems at that speed. So you're simplifying it. That's good for Vic, and you're simplifying the reads. And I think all those things help Vic. And in that sense, I think he makes a lot of, you know, sense as the guy who could, you know, work in this offense.
No, that's a good point. That actually leads me to what I was going to ask you. This is a conversation we're having about Cam Newton, but it could be just as much about the new offensive coordinator, Mike Shula. I mean, listen, if we're willing to give Chip Kelly and Mike Vick props for what they've been able to accomplish in 2 weeks, shouldn't we be asking questions about what Mike Shula is actually doing with his offense?
And I think this leads us to our next point. And I'm not trying to segue on from Cam. I just Brandon Whedon looked like a Hall of Famer under former Panthers offensive coordinator Rod Chudzinski. So
keep on going down the coaching chart, the org chart for the coaches.
It's Norv. It's not Chud. But I'm just saying, I thought James Dater, who does Cat Scratch Reader, which is the Panthers SB Nation blog. Greensboro guy. I thought he made a good point that, you know, it's like, you know, not, he wasn't like freaking out. He's just saying like, all right, you know, Chud's quarterback is blowing up. The guy he left behind, who's supposed to be the great quarterback, is not. I think Cam will be fine. That's the thing. What do you have? You had one rush for 5 yards. Cam's not looking to run in the preseason.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Cam. I really am more worried about what Mike Shula is going to bring to this offense.
Well, he's not going to bring anything.
Well, then that's a problem.
But when I say he's not going to bring anything, I guess I mean he's going to bring a continuation of hopefully the power run game from the second half of last year. I don't think he's going to be like creative and crazy.
No, he doesn't have to be creative or crazy, but he needs to bring something other than status quo, right?
Yeah, yeah, he does.
I mean, the team won – how many games did they win last year?
7.
And they won 6 the year before, right?
Yeah, and I think they have to win 8-8 if everybody wants their job.
Yeah, this is the Rex Ryan 8-8 Coach of the Year award type of situation.
Yeah, well, no, but 8-8 is not Coach of the Year. They might need to win 9 games to everybody keep their job.
I mean, I would be fine with that. I mean – why settle for six wins and 7 wins?
When does Ron Rivera keep his job if the Panthers go 9-7 and miss the playoffs?
I don't know. That's up to your crazy owner, Jerry Richardson. I think that you have to have that conversation about whether he needs to come back. I know that when Ron Rivera was fired as the defensive coordinator in Chicago, I think he had a few job interviews that offseason for head coaching gigs. In fact, I think the Steelers may have interviewed him before after Cowher retired, before they hired Tomlin.
Right.
But I think word on the street was that he was falling out of favor as kind of a rising star. I'm not sure why. But then he ended up in San Diego for a while. Then I think did he go from San Diego straight to the Panther shop?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
I think.
So, you know, I'm not convinced that he was the right hire to start with. And the record over the last 2 years doesn't change my mind at all.
The close games record is a concern for me. They were like 1-7 or 1-7 last year. People point to Cam as the problem. I tend to think it's more Rivera's late game coaching than it is Cam. But that's me.
No, I don't disagree with that. But you watch them more closely than I do. But I think it's fair not to wonder, even if they win 9 games, whether Rivera deserves to come back.
I think it's one of those. This is why another thing is stupid at the NFL and sports in general. You know, you could win 10 games. You're Lovie Smith. You win 10, and I'm not saying Lovie Smith didn't deserve to be fired. I'm fine with it. But you know, you win 10 games, you miss the playoffs, it's fireable. But if you win 8 games and you make the playoffs in the AFC, you know, you keep your job. You know what I mean? It's not it's odd.
Hey, listen, this is what happens when billionaire owners who are used to getting their way don't get what they want.
That's true. That's true. All right. Anything else stand out to you about the Eagles? The Panthers, like I said, I thought Josh Norman, you know, another pick, even though it's kind of a garbage pick. Josh Thomas had a nice interception. It's that secondary isn't going to be quite as bad. If Thomas and Norman can it's going to be bad. Okay. All right. Fine.
Who are the safeties?
It's Blarg Norman. No, it's Haruki Nakamura.
Yeah, and he played for the Ravens. He was awful.
Oh, he might be the worst player. And then Godfrey's the other guy.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, they're terrible. So you're talking about Norman Thomas, Drayton Florence, Captain Munnerlin.
They shouldn't have any trouble with Drew Brees and Matt Ryan.
I joked. I said, could the NC State secondary, because they sent 3 guys, Brandon Bishop, Earl Wolf, and David Amberson they ended up signing with people who got drafted. They would all start for the Panthers. That's how bad it was. How bad it is.
Comes back to the head coach, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, you got personnel issues. The front 7's good for the Panthers.
Well, they have a new GM, so, you know, this could be an IDSEC situation, the Jets head coach.
Oh, no. I think it is. I mean, that's what I mean. If Ron 8-8 is probably getting fired, and it's a shame if he goes 8-8, not because he was suddenly turning the corner, but because whoever comes in is going to inherit a much better situation than Ron Rivera inherited.
Well, hey, listen, NFL, what are you going to do?
Yeah, take your job when you can. So, that's the Panthers and Eagles. That's all I got. Back to the Browns. You mentioned Brandon Whedon. He looked like a freaking Hall of Famer, man. Yeah, are you ready? By the way, let's talk about that. Just real quick, I'm going to give my personal shout-out here. So, good day for me.
Yep.
Not only did I find out we're having a boy, we're excited about that.
Right. Congratulations. I don't think people knew that you, number one, found someone to marry you, or number two,
right. That actually
a lot of congratulations in order.
That's right. Three times around. So we found that out. We're very excited about that. That's my little buddy coming along to watch football with me. But also,
hey, by the way, before you go on, we should. If anyone has any ideas for names for Brinson's baby, please pass them along.
RWB.
Tweet them.
Russell Wilson Brinson.
Leave them in the comments.
That's right.
I want to hear them.
We're thinking Cameron Rivers Brinson, Russell Rivers Brinson.
Yeah. Anyway, so part B of your happiness tonight is
you shoved this Browns might win 9 games on me. It's gonna be awesome when, like we talked about the other night, like you got torched by the Colts. Mainly because you predicted it and you were spot on. And I think the only guy who really ever got credit for saying it was Merrill Hodge. And he didn't even say the Colts will win, 9 games. He said the Colts will be dangerous, which is a vague prediction at best. You got torched for not speaking up loudly enough. And now I'm suddenly going to get credit when the Browns go for 16-0 and win the Super Bowl. Because Brandon Weeden has turned the corner, 8 of 12, 117 yards, 2 touchdowns. He looked great throwing the ball. He looked great throwing the ball, right?
Not only great, he's looked comfortable in the pocket. A year ago in Pat Shurmur's scheme, he looked like a lost puppy. And
the preseason last year was brutal.
Now, to be fair, it was his rookie season, even though he was 28 at the time. But and while Weeden never said this, Pat Shurmur's offense had been accused of being unbelievably predictable. So I think Norv Turner, you can make fun of him all you want for his head coaching follies. The guy knows how to be an offensive coordinator. He knows how to bring along quarterbacks. And the early returns are that he's doing exactly that with Brandon Weeden. So not only did Weeden go 8 for 12 for 117 yards, 2 touchdowns on Thursday, last week he went 10 for 13 for 112 yards. And he's completing 72% of his passes, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and 2 preseason games. Yes, the games in general are meaningless, but you know what? It means a lot for the Browns organization that's been awful pretty much forever.
Is it worth noting that Jason Campbell went 12 of 14 for 106 yards and a touchdown, too? I mean,
QB competition.
What the hell? Where is this quarterback competition coming from? It's not even real.
Boyd Chud said it was a competition.
I know, but it's like Weeden was the starter. He's a first-round pick. Campbell's a washed-up veteran who's had 45 offensive coordinators in his career. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, this is Weeden's job. Number one, he's a first-round pick. Number two, he's going to be 30 in October. And number three, he looks pretty good right now. Now, does that change your opinion on the AFC North at all, or the Browns?
Had the Browns the favorite to win it in the first place. No, it doesn't change it because I remember my – and look, this is preseason game. Somebody pointed out on Twitter to me, and they're dead-on accurate – that last year in the preseason, Blaine Gabbert looked good.
Yeah.
He did look good. He lit up the Saints in the preseason. And everybody was like, oh, hello, Blaine Gabbert has turned the corner. And this is – Brandon Weeden was not as bad as Blaine Gabbert in his rookie year. He looked much tougher in the pocket last year. He has a much better arm, can get down the field better. And Brandon Weeden fits his offensive coordinator much better. I mean, Gabbert got malarkey, which is both literal and figurative.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's a hosing for Gabbert because malarkey is a boring rollout, vanilla offensive coordinator. Norv Turner is one of literally the best offensive coordinators of all time. He's got Trent Richardson back there. Now he's going to be missing Josh Gordon. Jordan Cameron, a huge tight end, 2 touchdowns, 3. I mean, that guy's fantasy stock is going to skyrocket.
No, that's right. And also, one concern, if there is such a thing with the Browns, where there's always concerns, I mean, you have Joe Thomas, which is one of the best offensive linemen.
Sure.
But they do have issues with the running back. Trent Richardson had a shin injury. He's been battling. He finally came back tonight on Thursday night. Hardesty is having, I think, arthroscopic knee surgery. And then, of course, Deion Lewis, the third stringer who's working up to the second team, broke his leg tonight. So those are something to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, presumably Deion Lewis is done for the year. Fractured fibula.
Right. No, that's right.
Yeah. The other thing, yeah. I mean, that's a problem. Trent Richardson, we don't know yet. I mean, top 5 pick. Is he a health issue? Is he not? We'll see. I tend to think that I kind of think Richardson, and I mentioned this as well when I was talking about the Browns going 9-7. If Norv Turner works his magic on Brandon Weeden and he works his magic on Trent Richardson, which is not entirely unfeasible or infeasible.
No, of course not. Trent Richardson isn't the problem.
Right, but I mean Richardson could become his next great running back, and if he does, this offense is going to be dangerous. Now they need to get Gordon back. Greg Little's got to do some damage, and they need
something. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, they need some help at wide receiver, but I think this. I'm telling you, I think this team is going to be a little bit better than people expect. Now, So it's me riding the, you know, riding the.
Yeah,
the,
you have to.
Yeah. Until they get blown out 55-0 in the next. In the next preseason game, one of the problems, their first round pick from 2013, Barkevius Mingo, being hospitalized with a bruised lung. We'll spend the night in the hospital. This is, you know, by the time most people are listening to this, he'll be out of the hospital. That's a really bizarre injury.
Yeah. And this is, look, I don't know how he sustained it. I didn't see him get hurt, but one of the fears I had when he came out was that he was so small.
Sure.
He looks like Greg Little almost, and he's playing defensive end or outside linebacker in the 3-4. And, you know, Pat Kerwin, who works for CBSSports.com, I mean, is an old school football guy. He worked in front offices at one time, and he does a lot of evaluations of these guys. He said he loved the way Mingo played, but his concern was that he threw himself around like a crazy person, that, you know, those injuries might catch up to him. I don't know how he got hurt, but, I mean, who knows? When you're going up against guys that weigh you by 80 and 90 pounds, you know, things can happen. I don't know how he bruised his lung, but I'm sure it had something to do with getting hit really hard by someone really fat.
Yeah, no, and being a, you know, being a dude named Kiki Mingo who weighs 4 pounds. I mean, it's, yeah. I look at that depth chart, though. I still think these guys are talented. Stacked?
Stacked. They're stacked. I mean, even if Mingo doesn't play, you have Sheard, you have Kruger.
Yeah.
They're guys that can play on that defense, and they're
Mingo,
all young.
Yeah, Mingo, to me, almost was a Bruce Irvin-type bonus rusher in that draft. You know, like, yeah. they took him, and it's like, wait, why'd you take him? D. Milliner's right there. You need another cornerback because you're rolling out Buster Screen. I mean, it's
not bad, actually.
It's not that bad, but, I mean, I don't know. It's I'm cool with it. You draft the best player available. We'll see whether Mingo's the best player available. They have talent to rush the passer. I'm not really worried about that. Mingo should probably be fine after this. A bruised lung is not – the hospitalization is a concern, obviously. But I think that's more about it being a vital organ. They don't want him going home by himself or something like that.
Yeah. Whatever you say, Dr. Brinson.
Hey, buddy, I was at the doctor's office today. You should have seen me reading that ultrasound.
Yeah, no, I'm sure you wore your lab coat and everything.
Spotted that wiener before the nurse. Telling you. I said, hey, whoa, what the hell is that? She goes, yeah, I spotted it 5 minutes ago. I was going to try and surprise your wife. Thanks, you ruined it, buddy.
Sounds about right.
That's right. Moving along to the Browns. I mean, the Browns, Jesus. The Ravens and the Falcons, a bit of a shootout, I guess, because it was, you know.
I think it was more of a, I don't know. I watched parts of it. I think it was more of a second and third.
Yeah, shootout. No, that's what I'm saying. It was, Dominic Davis and Sean Renfrey chunking it around. Matt Ryan, 8 of 15, 97 yards, 1 touchdown. Roddy White suffered a bit of an ankle injury, and that's when Julio Jones, you know, went off as much as you can go off in the as much as you can in the preseason. 3 catches, 55 yards, and a TD, including a long of 32. So
I think that TD catch was actually a 33 yarder. And what I was thinking when I saw that play was this. So 2 years ago,
that was an 8 yarder. It was a short pass, yeah. Torrey Smith caught a 77-yarder from Joe Flacco now.
Oh, I saw that slant. No, but Jones, that's right. I saw the 32-yarder that wasn't the touchdown, but it was a long, you know, clearly a long play down the field. When I saw that play and when he followed up with the 8-yard touchdown, I was thinking that 2 years ago, Dimitroff, their GM, traded up in the first round and gave up a whole boatload of picks.
Is this the war game story?
To get Julio Jones. Because the idea was to go to the Super Bowl. Now, of course, we know what happened in 2011. They scored 2 points against the Giants in the playoffs and lost. Last year, they did win a playoff game, but ultimately lost to who'd they lose to?
The 49ers.
Giants? 49ers, right. Yeah. So was that trade, now all they gave up for Jones, worth it? Two years later, going into year 3.
Yeah, we've been over this with the Browns. Not if Brandon Whedon turns into a superstar, I guess not. Remember, it was Brandon Whedon and Phil Taylor and Greg Little and
They get a lineman or something?
Yeah, I think one of the picks they used to move up to get Trent Richardson. It wasn't – I think it's worth it. I think Julio Jones is one of the top 10 receivers in the NFL. And Roddy White might be there with him.
He's not better than A.J. Green, but he's
– No, he's but he's but he's up there. And A.J. Green is – you know, everybody's leaning on A.J. Green. Julio Jones loses – if Julio Jones was on an island by himself, his stats would be outrageous.
Yeah, I just don't know if it was worth it for the depth.
The depth is the problem. When you start looking at the line, and they lost Claybo at free agency, they paid Sam Baker. not exactly stacked at cornerback, even though they moved up and got Trufant this year. You know, there are concerns there at some of the less flashier positions. I think Julio Jones is a transcendent talent, so I'm okay with it.
Are they a top five team likely to make the Super Bowl this year? I don't think so, though.
Top 10. I mean, they're top. They're one of the
top 10. Jesus, man. You give up all that for Julio Jones, and you sneak into the top 10 of the conversation?
I think that saw that John Bostic hit. We'll get to that in a second. Jesus. That
scared you.
Yeah, it did. I think the last year, I think they felt last year was their major window where they had a real shot and then came so close, you know, got over the hump, so to speak. Now they added to me, they've fallen down from where they were in terms of contenders. I mean, they lost a right tackle. You know, they replaced John Abraham with OC Umanure, but big deal. I loved the Steven Jackson signing. Obviously way better than the Michael Turner, who's out of a job, by the way, still, but I don't blame the Julio trade, but I do think it hurts their depth. Now, here's the interesting part of it. So the guy that was taken down there, because remember, the Falcons traded with the Browns, right, to go from 6 to 26. And then the Browns traded out of 26 and went up to grab Phil Taylor in the first round. They traded with the Chiefs. The Chiefs moved back down. You know the guy they got in the Falcons' original spot?
Who?
John Baldwin.
Oh, that's right, because that's who the guy that Bill Belichick
called War Games?
I'm not sure who wrote the book. It wasn't.
It's Michael Holley's. Michael Holley's book.
Michael Holley's book. Yeah, it wasn't the one with Matthew Broderick.
Right. No, it's a great book. But Bill Belichick is, you know, in it. He says Thomas, I don't think that this is a wise move to me. Right. Jonathan Baldwin is as good as Julio Jones. Now, obviously, that is not the case.
No. And in retrospect, Bill Belichick clearly doesn't know how to identify talent at the wide receiver position. He's
really? Awesome. I mean, it's just Chad Jackson. I mean, come on, man. Yeah. So when I put the trade in that kind of context, if Thomas Dimitroff listens to Bill Belichick, passes on the trade, and he comes away with Jonathan Baldwin and then whoever else he gets in the first round at that Whedon spot plus, you know, a third rounder and a second rounder, I guess, and maybe a fifth rounder, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Sure. I'll take Julio. He's an elite talent.
I don't think I would. I mean, I can see the argument going both ways. I'm not married to my argument.
So you've changed? You think it's a bad trade now?
I've always – well, not initially. I wanted to see how it would play out, but I was always on the side of thinking this is probably not worth the trouble.
I thought you liked the trade for Atlanta.
No, I love Julio Jones, but it's a lot to give up, and then you don't do anything with what you'd hope to do in the postseason. So – the idea is to win the Super Bowl. They didn't even get to the Super Bowl. They didn't come close one year. They had a better chance.
They got 10 yards away.
Well,
am I blacked out on this? I thought we spent all this time last year making fun of the Browns for the trade.
No, we definitely made fun of the Browns.
Gotcha.
But the Falcons' decisions has nothing to do with how bad the Browns are making their decisions.
All right, I see what you're saying. In other words, the Falcons, you're looking at it.
From the Falcons'
perspective. You're not looking at it as the Browns got these guys and the Falcons got this guy.
No, that's right. I'm looking at solely from the Falcons giving up this.
If the Falcons had five guys total versus Julio
right.
Jones.
Not those five guys that the Browns picked for them.
Right, because the Falcons obviously wouldn't have picked the guys that the Browns picked.
That's right. They were going to pick five long snappers of those picks.
I'm curious, like, to go back. Now I want to know
who they could have had.
Yeah, who the Browns or who the Falcons would have had. So, I mean, like, let's say they take John Baldwin and listen, you know, that's obviously a nightmare. And then
– Yeah, I don't know. Well, let's save that for the next podcast because I actually wouldn't mind looking –
oh, I'll tell you what. They could have had – oh, boy. They could have had Riley Reiff or Whitney Merciless, Zeitler.
Yeah, they could have used
Zeitler. Interesting. Yeah. No, they couldn't have had DeCastro, but Chandler Jones with the Patriots right before that. I mean, there was Doug Martin.
Ooh. Yeah, some Doug Martin as opposed to spending money on Steven Jackson, who's old, or keeping Michael Turner around.
Of course, they could have also drafted AJ Jenkins.
Then they would have done that. I don't think AJ Jenkins would have gotten drafted if not for Jim Harbaugh.
They could have drafted Janoris Jenkins, played him at cornerback. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't think Dimitroff were taking chances on that case.
No, in the Holly book too. Like there was a like. In fact, one of the things that. And actually, that would be interesting to go back and look at who they could have had. But yeah, in the Holly book, they talk about how Dimitroff got chastised by Arthur Blank. Not chastised, but Arthur Blank was like, hey, you might want to take a couple more gambles. And he's like,
really?
Yeah, he's like, hey, I'm here because you draft you had Mike Vick. I mean, he didn't say that, but that's kind of, you know, like, hey, yeah. Look, man, you
calm down, the guy with the mustache.
Yeah, he's like, you hired me to run the front office. You want me to run it or run it? I mean, so yeah.
All right, so we'll revisit the Julio Jones situation and report back.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think, Ravens? I can't get a beat on the Ravens.
Well, you think their defense will be better? Matt Elam was running all over the place when I saw him.
Ooh, he looks good, doesn't he?
Yeah, who's the guy that drafted? Arthur Brown made two huge plays on one drive that I watched. He was in the backfield. And I said last podcast that he's, you know, I'm a little concerned because he's slight. He's not, you know, he's not as big as Ray Lewis was.
Yeah, but he's
about 10 times faster.
He's like Levante David, I think.
Way
too small, outproduces it. Yeah.
He's still probably super strong. So, yeah, he looked good, and we'll see. I mean, you know, you made the point before that this defense last year wasn't great, so it's reasonable to think that the 2013 version will be a little better. We'll see what they do in offense outside of Joe Flacco, Ray Rice, and Torrey Smith. Maybe it won't matter because that doesn't seem to matter in the past, but then again, maybe it will. I don't know.
My man, Aaron Mallette.
Oh, God, here we go. Elon, yes, go ahead.
Yes, Elon. He caught a 40-yard touchdown pass. Fourth quarter, garbage time from Tyrod Taylor. Nevertheless, people... This guy's making plays. He's catching touchdowns.
That's right. He's making plays.
I'm telling you, he's a physical, tall-ish receiver.
I don't dispute it. He's still not going to make the team, but yes, I understand.
What? You don't think he'll make the team?
What's the depth chart? Let me look at it.
He's a 6'2", 217-pound wide receiver who hadn't been playing it very long. He can step in. Maybe he doesn't make the team if they – I mean, like, was he going to lose out to Tandon Doss?
Yeah.
Deontay Thompson, David
Here's
Reed.
What Aaron Wilson tweeted, our buddy from the Baltimore Sun. He tweeted this on Thursday night. Tandon Doss made his first catch of the season tonight, and then he promptly fumbled.
Right. I mean, like, you're telling me you're going to keep Tandon Doss over this, you know.
Aaron Mallette is currently the fifth, running with the 15.
Yeah, that's our lad says that. I'm telling you. Look, you fantasy.
Along with Brandon Stokely.
You fantasy guys, man. You listen to me on Aaron Mallette. Deep sleeper. I'm telling you.
Okay. No, that's fine. Your boy. We'll keep an eye on him. But, right. I tend to agree with the Ravens.
By the way, just to play devil's avocado here on Aaron Mallette, Josh Norris, who actually went to Elon, replied back to my Aaron Mallette tweet. Was like, maybe I should give you all my Elon stuff because you're a lot higher on him than I am.
Yeah, you're all over the Elon, Aaron Mallette train.
Riding that bandwagon, baby.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy, but whatever. I think the Ravens, no surprises yet. It'll be we'll have to see how the defense does, and if Flacco has any wide receivers. Other than that,
they're just gonna manage, and
that's what they do.
That's exactly, and they have the running game with Pierce and with Ray Rice to be fine. The offensive line should be okay. Flacco can make plays. He's gonna do a bunch of stupid junk throughout the season. And that's the one thing about the Ravens that concerns me. So Flacco signs this monster. Well, it didn't concern me. I don't give a crap if you know whether Flacco looks stupid or not. But I mean, it concerns me that the fans will be upset if Flacco comes out and is Flacco from the regular season last year. People are like, whoa! I thought we paid $120 million for this guy.
Our buddy at 105.7, the Fan in Baltimore, Mark Zeno, told me last week that after Flacco threw a first quarter interception on a nice play by one of the Buccaneers. Secondary cornerbacks. It was an out route, and the guy jumped it. That fans were calling for Flacco to, you know, not to be benched, but they wanted him back out there for a few more series to prove himself.
Jesus. I'm telling you, you sign that sort of deal. It's one thing if you're Drew Brees. You sign that deal, you're going to Drew Brees, but you're going to do Drew Brees, and nobody's going to care. Because otherwise, like, without Drew Brees, that team, the Saints go nowhere. Right?
Yeah, we saw that.
Joe Flacco signs that deal, and you know, then all of a sudden you're getting, you know, Joe Flacco of 2012, who was unbelievable. I mean, he was Joe Montana in the postseason. He was Peyton Manning. He was Tom Brady. I mean, he was one of the best quarterbacks. He played like nobody you've ever seen before in the regular season. The last 2 years, he hasn't completed over 60% of his passes. He's never thrown for 4,000 yards. He's never thrown more than 25 touchdowns.
Yeah, he just has impeccable timing.
I mean, 5 years, he goes to the playoffs, 11, 9, 12, 12, 10. His team wins, and that's why it's – I mean, the guy's good. I mean, he's a good quarterback. He's not. He's got a great deep arm, but he's just not a great quarterback.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll talk about it. We have this conversation every year from weeks 1 through 16, and then they get in the playoffs.
I'd just like to have it on record.
Yep. On record, sir. All right, let's move on to this Chargers-Bears game. So let me say this. Let me set it up. So we talked last podcast about how the offensive lines of these two teams are dreadful. I'll read you this from the game. Rivers attempted 12 passes, sacked 3 times.
Yeah. Yeah, that's bad, man. That's bad. It is the Chargers, as much as my Brandon Whedon Browns party took off, I'm taking the Chargers to be the worst team in the NFL party might have taken off better. I mean, this team is dreadful.
Yeah, you're kind of exaggerating what I said, but I'll run with it. I said that the Raiders would beat them in the AFC West, but that's pretty much saying the same thing as
the Chargers are in like a deliciously smelly bouillabaisse with the Raiders, Jets, and Jaguars, right?
Yeah, no, that's one way to put it.
So, jambalaya.
I'm looking at PDF here right now, and Mike Wilkening actually watched this game. God bless him. So DJ Fluker got beaten badly on one sack. Max Starks, your boy, got beaten outside by Shea McClellan on another sack, who ended up stripping Rivers. So this is kind of, you know, and we were talking last episode about Max Starks versus, what's his name, King Dunlap.
Yeah.
The left tackle position. And really, I think you could put every offensive lineman on that team on the field, and Philip Rivers would still take a beating.
At one point, Rivers spiked the ball in frustration, much to Twitter's delight, obviously.
That poor guy.
Telling you, man, when Brandon Whedon retires after winning a Super Bowl, then Philip Rivers is going to step in and take his job in San Diego.
You mean in Cleveland? Yeah, no, that's right.
Cleveland, sorry, yeah.
And he actually kind of out-cutlered Cutler in terms of the poutiness.
Yeah. Cutler was 4 of 5, 38 yards, 1 TD, and threw one horrible pick.
Yeah. Phillip Rivers inspired interception.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Chargers are giving work to the Charlie Whitehurst, 9 of 13, 97 yards, 2 touchdowns. I'll ask you this. Over or under number of games started in 2013 for the Chargers by Charlie Whitehurst? I'll set it at 2.5.
Yeah. No, that sounds about right. Under because Philip Rivers is actually pretty tough. Despite how much he annoys me, he's actually a really tough guy, and I think that he will take a beating like nobody's business. And he, as Howard Stern once says, he just refuses to die. He's too dumb to die. So he'll keep getting up. He'll keep getting beaten. Max Starks and DJ Fluker.
All right. Let's play a game real quick. This will be fun. Right. So I'm going to say a last name of a Chargers wide receiver. I want you to tell me their first name, and I'm going to go in order of most receiving yards down. I'm not doing this to mess with you. I'm doing this.
No, I'll happily accept the challenge. But
last name Green.
Daryl.
Ladarius.
Of course, yes. His third son.
Meacham.
Oh yeah, Robert Meacham.
De Palma.
Brian.
Dan.
Oh yeah.
Allen.
Keenan.
Gates.
Oh, yeah, Antonio, this curveball.
Willie.
Who?
Willie is his last name.
Joe.
Mike Willie. Whitaker. This is out of control.
Lou.
No, it's Fozzie Whitaker, and he's actually all right. But, I mean, look, the
point. Fozzie Whitaker?
Yeah.
You know who that is?
I want to say.
Do you know there's a guy on the Browns, number 47?
Fozzie Whitaker's actually a running back. He played at Texas. That's right. But my point was that, like, I looked over at the stats, and you know, it's a preseason, so we're not, you know, not every, especially these time of years, you know, you're not seeing, you know, you're not always seeing big names up there. But it was like Ladarius Green, Dan De Palma, and then Keenan Allen, who, as I pointed out on Twitter, was returning punts in the third quarter of this game. Now, this is a rookie who's had multiple knee issues, He's on a razor-thin depth chart, and they're throwing him out there in a preseason game to return punts because you don't have some clown you can just throw. I mean, find somebody off the – you got Eddie Royal, for God's sakes. That's what he does is return punts. So they put Keenan Allen back there. The first play, he takes a big hit, and there's a flag on the play, and they call it back. So then Keenan Allen fields the next punt, and he fumbles immediately. This is why
I feel comfortable with my worst team in football prediction.
Yeah, I mean, you should ride that. You should own. And in fact, Twitter started. That's when I saw you retweet it. Twitter started to heat up with talk of Chargers might like. Oh, here's where the Raiders are going to get two games from the Chargers.
Yeah, no,
you
that's
might.
Right.
I'm just saying you might need to own that and like put that down on paper and.
Yeah, like I did last year. No one paid attention to me, but but fair enough.
Yeah, I think you're slightly more reputable. Sorensen had a fumble, Rivers had a fumble, Whitehurst had a fumble, and Keenan Allen had a fumble. It's pretty strong. Cutler also had a fumble, didn't actually lose it. Good Lord. The Bears recovered four fumbles, typical Bears defense. This is just a sloppy game between two teams. The Bears, for me, their variance on like how good they're going to be is very wide. Like the Chargers, I know are going to be terrible.
Yeah,
but I don't know whether the Bears are going to have a decent shot of topping the Packers, or whether the Bears are secretly going to pile into the bottom of the division.
I don't think they will. It may be one of these situations where they start off fast and everyone says, "See, told you, they're better than the Packers." But I think when November, December roll around, Green Bay will be there, and we'll see Cutler get mad at some offensive linemen and yell at him on the field, and he'll by that point he will have been sacked 50 or 60 times.
I don't know that I'd say it starts off easy though. All right, so they're at Cincinnati at home, Minnesota at home, at Pittsburgh, at Detroit, New Orleans, and then Giants at Washington, at Green Bay. Eesh. I mean, no game's easy, obviously.
But there you go. So we can dismiss them pretty early. It sounds like.
They won 10 games last year.
They got up to a hot start, and that was the thing. Remember, everyone was saying, these guys are legitimate. Quit talking about the Packers.
Yeah, and then they folded. Yeah.
Yeah, like a cheap suit. By the way, Browns coach Rob Chudzinski announces that Mingo will spend the night in hospital.
Yeah, so there you go. All right, let's look forward to Friday's games. And what are you eyeing on this delicious slate of another four-game slate, actually, which is kind of a manageable. Hey, NFL, how about you stagger some of these? How hard would that be?
Impossible.
I mean, so you got 7 o'clock, 8, and 8, and 8. And then, like you couldn't – what was it tonight? It was like 7:30, 7:30, 7:30, 8.
Yeah. No, it makes it that you don't want to watch any of them because you try to keep up with them. And then by trying to watch four games, you're seeing none of them.
Exactly. And I gave up. I was just watching Panthers Eagles and, not really, I went back and watched, as much as I could of the other ones, but it's, just they stagger. Yeah, it's not hard. 7:30, 8:30. You have time zones.
Here's the thing. When they do it with the preseason, you don't have to worry about it, will you? 18 game schedules.
That's right. Well, actually, no, this will be the final week of the preseason.
So anyway, I think on Friday night the big game will be the Brady Bowl. Tom Brady returns triumphantly after going down on Wednesday. We talked about that the last podcast. So I guess he's fine. He showed up at practice on Thursday, did the walkthrough, and he set the play on Friday against the Buccaneers. So there you have it. I guess Greg Schiano talked about it, and Bill Belichick wasn't worried at all about the play. I think they were more concerned. Belichick was with Nate Solder getting blown up.
don't blow this one up, Nate Solder.
Schiano said that he told Adrian Claiborne, not to touch the quarterback, but he had bull rushed Solder to such a degree that he almost didn't have a choice in what happened next.
No, that's not his fault.
Yeah, no, that's right. Schiano didn't say it was his fault either. He was just saying, look, this is football. It's a dangerous game. These things happen. I don't think anyone's saying anything about anything being dirty, so that's a good thing.
If Nate Solder can't handle a bull rush in a multi-team scrimmage, then Tom Brady's going to die anyway. So, who cares?
So there's that game.
Alex Smith's return to.
Oh God, that's right. 49ers Chiefs.
Yeah.
So did you hear what Alex Smith said about this game?
I know Jim Harbaugh said it's not personal.
Let me find the quote because it's. It's pretty existential here.
How many points will how many points will the Saints beat the Raiders by a preseason?
I think the the Saints might actually score 100 points.
What do you, if you were putting a line on that game, it's impossible. Like, you have to be a real degenerate to bet on preseason.
That's right. The first quarter line, I will put it like 12 points.
I would. There are NFL preseason lines. Oh my God, there are NFL. The Saints are minus 6.5 for first the game. Quarter? No, hold on. There's a first half line.
What is that?
They're not up yet. They'll be up tomorrow.
So here's what Alex Smith said about the match.
I'm kind of tempted 49ers. To bet my son on Saints minus 6.5. Work.
So Alex Smith's quote about the 49ers, the team he played for last year before they traded him to the Chiefs. He said, it's another preseason game. Then again, it's not. Awesome.
That's cool, man. I mean, that's what Jim Harbaugh's, you know, he's like, you know, it's not personal, but we don't like him.
Yeah, I'm guessing Jim Harbaugh was wearing a black hat, a whistle, a black sweatshirt, and khakis.
Yeah, exactly. That's all he wears. So, yeah, you got that, Brady. Obvious quarterback drama in those. New Orleans, I'd be interested to see, honestly, how their defense does against
Matt Flynn.
If Matt Flynn carves up that defense, you got to be worried if you're the Saints.
Yeah, that's a big if. Name to watch, by the way, in this Raiders game, if you're actually feeling like a crazy person and you want to sit through this game, C.O. Moore, inside linebacker.
Sure.
Rookie, drafted at UConn in third round. I wish the Steelers would have gotten him. He's probably going to be really a player, so he's starting, which should tell you something. But that'll probably be the only thing I'm watching this game.
Are you ready for my man Stephen Gilmore? Stephon, I know it's Stephon. I'm just kidding.
So the Vikings-Bills, E.J. Manuel's starting, isn't he? No, Cobb's starting.
He'll get the first go. He's got to me. He's got a puncher's chance if he, you know, shreds it. I guess he's got a puncher's chance if he shreds, you know, the first half.
He better be punching E.J. Manuel if he wants to start.
We see this with these quarterback battles, you know, and that's why the Jets thing is based on Geno's ankle. But you know, usually it's one guy gets the first start. You know.
Yeah, that's what they did with Vic and Foles.
Right. And you notice that the Browns didn't do that, which is why they're kind of lying about that quarterback battle.
I don't know. Just Chud, quit being coy.
Yeah, it's silly. I would expect. I am looking forward to what EJ Manuel does. I want to see him. You know, see how he looks, see how he pops. Minnesota, not a great defense, I don't think, this year, but you know, can put some pressure on a guy.
Man, we'll see. Jared Allen.
Yeah, we'll see. Not a great slate. You know what? While we're here, because we're not going to podcast again on Monday.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me tell you, the worst game, not just the weekend, but possibly the season. Jacksonville of the Jets.
But it's interesting. It's interesting from a quarterback perspective.
And a train wreck perspective.
Right. Like, you want to see which one of those, like, I mean, it's a clown for clowny fest out there. That's what that is.
I stole that line without giving you credit.
You really? SOB for who?
I think in the roundup I wrote about it. I was talking about, so keep talking about that, and I'll look it up.
Yeah, sure.
Somebody
will give him a bridge over troubled water. Don't worry about it. That one's bad. So Saturday night, actually Saturday day, it kind of starts because we get from Glendale, we get an afternoon kickoff, which is great. Again, thank you for staggering these NFL. How hard is that? 4:30 p.m. on NFL Network. No way. Cowboys at the Cardinals. I'm curious to see what Carson Palmer does. I mean, Carson Palmer, Larry Fitz, got a pair of good cornerbacks in Morris Claiborne and Brandon Carr going up. I want to see Dallas's new defense. I want to see how Jonathan Cooper works on the offensive line for the Cardinals. And, of course, Tony Romo, always fun. Honey Badger's there. That's an exciting game.
So that is an interesting plot line, Honey Badger.
Yeah. An interesting 4:30 in the afternoon game. Why isn't there a 4:30 game every day?
I don't know. That's a good question. But, you know, people have been talking up Carson Palmer in and around Arizona, so we'll see exactly how different he is than the Carson Palmer who stunk it up in Oakland. And you can say he got better last year. Fine, maybe he did.
It was garbage yards. It was garbage
yards. But it's still not – he's not a guy you build a team around. He was drafted in 2003, so what is he, 33, 34?
He's 45. He's old. He's 33. If he can throw the deep ball, the Cardinals will succeed because that's what Bruce Arians' offense calls for. Malcolm Floyd, Andre Roberts, Larry Fitz, they got talent there.
Offensive Malcolm Floyd, not Malcolm Floyd.
I'm sorry, Michael Floyd.
Michael, yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, not Malcolm. Yeah, and so then, all right, 7 o'clock games we have, or just one 7 o'clock game, we have Tennessee at Cincinnati. Actually, I am curious how Chris Johnson runs.
That's right.
Runs against a good defense.
Really good defense, yep.
Because the Redskins' defense is not as good.
No.
And he ran well against him, so we'll see about that. Jake Locker, why not, buddy? Come on out. Andy Dalton, he needs to put up numbers against Tennessee. 8 o'clock games, Miami at Houston. Ugh.
Yeah. You know, there are a lot of questions about Mike Wallace.
Matchup against Jonathan Joseph, too.
Yeah, he hasn't been, quote-unquote, gelling with Ryan Tannehill. I think our buddy Jason Lockhart wrote that one of the backup cornerbacks has been owning him in practice, which is not what you want to hear about a guy you gave $60 million to.
Hey, I've been saying from the – I don't think you disagree. I've been saying this is a terrible deal from the get-go.
Oh, yeah. No, I completely agree.
You were thrilled as a Steelers fan that they paid him.
Yeah, he had a chance to get 5 years, $55 million last year, and he said, beat it. They said, beat it. And they let him walk, and, you know, the Dolphins stepped up, but now they're going to have to –
I mean, they overpaid him in a market that wasn't really going to yield it. Green Bay, St. Louis, that's a good matchup versus Aaron Rodgers and those cornerbacks.
Yeah, it's a better matchup than the regular season, but.
Sure. Yeah. It's watchable.
You'll be up for the big game. Peyton Manning against your mentor, Russell Wilson.
Oh, hell, that's at 10 o'clock? Oh, my God. I mean, I'm not working Saturday. Why am I upset that that's at 10 o'clock? Godzilla, that's a late game. Why are you so.
That's televised.
There's a triple header on NFL Network on Thursday or Saturday. That's cool,
yeah,
guys.
Apparently,
that's why our boss chatted me today and asked me if I was ready for a long day. Oh my god, that's fine. I mean, Saturday night, 10 o'clock. I don't mind sitting around watching football.
Yeah, especially if it's Russell Wilson. So
I got a pregnant wife that's gonna be in bed Sunday night. Two more games. Good lord. Sunday night on Fox. Yeah, this is an awful weekend. The Colts and the Giants would have been a Manning Bowl 2 years ago. That's just a good game.
Yeah, no, it'll be worth watching for 20 minutes, and then while you continue to work, I'll be eating macaroni and cheese or something.
That's right.
On Monday night, I'm working, so you can rest. You can take that.
You did schedule the Steelers. God, it's going to be awesome when a Rakpo levels Ben Roethlisberger.
Here's the thing. Like, our boss is a huge Redskins fan. Typically, this game probably wouldn't require much in the way of actual work because there's the second week of the preseason game. But because it's the Redskins, I guarantee you'll have at least 15 posts.
I need a gift for every play there.
That's right.
And how confident we are that he's not listening to this podcast at this point.
On next episode, you'll know why.
That's right. If the Big Six podcast is canceled again. Anyway, all right. So, yeah, it's a fun weekend of games. A lot of stuff to watch. You can follow us on Twitter at IonNFL. Same spot, IonFootball on Facebook. And, of course, you can subscribe to the Eye on Football podcast on iTunes and leave us, like, a favorable 5-star rating to, you know, keep boosting us up those things and keep giving us non-existent raises. In the meantime, let's watch football. Enjoy it. Not much time left for the regular season. For Ryan Wilson, I am Will Brinson. We will talk to you guys next week.